So just a little background here. The Gemara is going to analyze that part of the Mishnah which speaks about Yoav ben Tsruya. You remember that a Rotzeach b'shogeg doesn't leave the Eir Miklat at all, under any circumstance. And the Mishnah demonstrates this by referencing the Parsha of Yoav ben Tsruya, who is the Sar Tzava l'Yisrael. And a little bit of history: Yoav ben Tsruya murdered a fellow by the name of Avner ben Ner, who was the Sar Tzava of a different section of Israel. And as a result, David HaMelech wanted to put him to death, Yoav ben Tsruya, but he didn't do so himself. He commanded his son Shlomo to put Yoav ben Tsruya to death. Yoav ben Tsruya finds out about this. Shlomo is after him, and he runs to the Mizbeach. And the Gemara tells us, Omer Rav Yehuda Marav, Shtei Toyos Ta'a Yoav B'Yosa Shah. Shlomo, in fact, put Yoav to death, despite the fact that Yoav was holding on to the Mizbeach. Tichsiv, his first mistake, was Vayonas Yoav El Ol Hashem, Vayachazek Bekarnos HaMizbeach. Right, the Mizbeach is made up of two major parts. Right, you go up a Kevesh, and then you land on what's called the Karnos HaMizbeach. That's where the resort the dam. And then there's what's called the Gag HaMizbeach. That's where the Haktar of the Karbonos was done. So notice that the Pasuk records that Yoav held on to the Karnos HaMizbeach. In modern Hebrew, by the way, the Israelis use this phrase, Karnot HaMizbeach. But it's wrong, because Karnot HaMizbeach is not going to help you much. The first mistake that he made was She'eno kolet ela gag hamizbeach. The gag of the mizbeach, where the haktar is done, that does afford protection. Vehu, but Yoav himself tofas bekarnos hamizbeach. He was only holding on to the corners of the mizbeach. Ta, and he made a second mistake. She'eno kolet ela mizbeach base olamim. In other words, the mizbeach, the base hamigdash. Vehu, but Yoav tofas mizbeach shel. Now here there's a girsa problem. Rashi, if you take a look, five lines down from the top, has the girsa shelbama. And the Mefarshim explained that Rashi believes that Shiloh, which is the other girsa, has the same exact status as the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, indeed, the Mizbeach of Shiloh, like the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, would afford protection. However, what he did was, he was tofes a mizbeach of a bama which you know is a private mizbeach. And what was this bama? How did this bama come into being? Rashi says that David, you remember when David got the Aron Bris Hashem back from the Plishtim, and he set up a special ohel for the Aron. It was kind of like a temporary substitute Beis HaMikdash for the Aron, to house the Aron. And right there in front of that Ohel, he established a Bama, and Yoel, the fugitive Yoel, goes back to that Ohel, and he grabs onto the Bama. And Rashi goes on to tell us that a Bama, even though you could be Makriv Karbonos on a Bama, but it doesn't have the status of a Mizbeach, and therefore could not afford protection for Yoav. That's Rashi's pshat. Again, there are other Rishonim who have the Girsa Shiloh, which means that Enochinami, Yoav was smart enough to realize that he could not get protection by holding on to the Mizbeach of a Bama, but he did think that he could certainly have protection from the Mizbeach of Shiloh. Because Shiloh, for all intents and purposes, had the same identical status as a Beis HaMikdash. In fact, Shiloh stood for 369 years, almost as long as the Beis HaMikdash stood. One of the greatest tragedies that we speak about on Tisha B'Av in the Kinnis is the destruction of Shiloh. So Shiloh really has the status of a Beis HaMikdash. And therefore Yoav was justified in his logic. And we're going to really have to learn Kodshim in depth to figure out why Shiloh would not have the Mizbeach of Shiloh would not have the identical status as a Mizbeach of a Beis HaMikdash. Abaye says that he made a third mistake. Bahanami mitata, tasha eno kolet ela kohen vavodasa biyodo. Only a kohen is doing the avoda on the mizbeach. Vehu and Yoav was a zar. In other words, a mizbeach could only be kolet a Kohen who's serving on the Mizbeach. That gives the Kohen a status of Klita, but Yoav wanted it as a Zar, who had no possibility of doing Avoda, he wanted to gain Klita from the Mizbeach. Abai says that that is not correct. The Meiri, by the way, says that we don't paskin like Abaye, meaning we only accept the first two mistakes of Yoav, not the third. And the reason why we reject Abaye, and he bases himself on a Rambam, is that although it's true that a regular classical Rotzeach could not gain Klita and protection unless he's a Kohen HaOved Al Gami Mizbeach, but here we're talking about a different sin entirely. We're talking about the fact that he's being put to death by the king, right? The king, in this case, David, who passed on this mandate to his son Shlomo, has rights to put someone to death. And in the case of Misa Lamelech, even a non-Kohen, a Zar, could gain Klita to protect himself from Misa Lamelech on the Mizbeach. So that mistake, which Abai focuses on, says the Meiri, is not accepted la'alocha. The Rashba claims, bless you, that there was a third mistake that Yoav made, and that is that the Mizbeach is only collate a shogay case and not a mazid case. And that is based on the Gemara later on, which we'll see, Reish Lakish, who describes the Samael, the Saroshel Esav, and what mistake he made by running to an Ir Mikla to protect himself from the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And one of the mistakes he made was that he thought that there's klita even for a mazid, but there's only klita for a shogeg. But then the Rashba asks himself a question, so why doesn't the Gemara mention this mistake of Yoav? Yoav was absolutely deliberate in his murder of Avner ben Ner, and I forgot to mention he murdered also another person of significance, Amsa ben Yeser. So he was a double murderer, and he was certainly a mazid. Why isn't that mentioned here? So the Rashba comes up with fantastical chiddush here, which I don't understand, but he says the following, that the issue of protection of klita comes under two different categories. There's one klita from the Gol Adam, when a person commits murder. There's another klita from someone other than the Gol Adam. In this case, Yoav was not seeking refuge and protection for the Gol Adam of Amsa or of Avner, but rather he was seeking protection from Shlomo HaMelech. And in that case, says the Rashba, even a mazid could gain protection by the Mizbeach. In other words, the Ir Miklat is the exclusive designated protection for the Gol Adam. That's for a case of Ritzicha. And there the Gol Adam is trying to avenge the death of his relative, and the Torah affords protection against the Gol Adam in the Ir Miklat. There's another concept called the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach can afford protection, but not against the Gol Adam, unless it's a shogeg case, but in a mazid case, there's an extra protection against the melech, in this case Shlomo, who wanted to put him to death. Now the Gemara gives another example of someone who made a big mistake. In this case, it's a malach who made a big mistake in thinking that it could achieve klita and protection by running to an Ir Miklat. And this Gemara is way beyond my comprehension. These are mystical concepts that I can't claim I have any, even a finger of a tip of the iceberg. I don't know what it is. But in any event, Reish Lakish is going to describe a situation at the time of the Geula, the ultimate redemption, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take revenge against not only the Umos HaOlam who perpetrated evil against us, but even against their Sarim, meaning their angelic delegates up in Shemayim. And the angelic delegate of Edom, which are probably the Christians, is this what's called the Saro Shel Romi.
Amar Reish Lakish Shalosh Toyos Asid Saro Shalromi Litos.
The Saro Shalromi, which is known in the literature as Samael, I don't know if you've ever heard of that, tried to protect himself, will try to protect himself against divine wrath at the end of days for all the evil that he perpetrated against Klal Yisrael by running to an Ir Miklat. Again, I never saw a Malach in an Ir Miklat, but that's Tichsiv, and it says in the Pasuk, Mi ze ba me Edom chamutz begodim mi batzra. Okay, now, the key of keys here is the word batzra. One of the six Ari Miklat is called Betzer, Bet Sadi Reish, and it's within the bounds of Eretz Yisrael. There's another city called Betzra, with a hey at the end, not to be confused with Betzer, except it was confused by Samael. And this Pasuk, which is in Yeshayahu HaNavi, describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Mi Zeh Ba Mi Edom. He's coming back from Edom, where he slaughtered the Saro Shel Edom. He meaning God with a capital H. And Chamutz B'Godim means that the divine clothing, whatever that means, is soaked with blood. The blood of Samael. Again, all this has to be understood symbolically. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming back from Edom, and specifically from a city called Batzra, after he destroyed the Saro Shel Romi Samael, and God's clothing, Kaviyachol, saturated with blood. What three mistakes did Samael make? Number one, Toeh, She'ena Koletes Ela Betzar. In truth, Betzar is a city of refuge. Who Gola Libatzra, but he's going to find himself in a city called Batzra. I mean, here the Mefarshim go absolutely bananas. I mean, how could he make such a mistake? Batzra is in Moav. It's in Chutzlartz. There's no such thing as an Ir Miklat in Chutzlartz. All six Ari Miklat, including Betzer, are in Eretz Yisrael. So some want to say that you have to take out the hay of the word Batzra, and there were two cities called Batzar in Eretz. So one was in Ir Miklat, one was not. So at least in name, we understand this mistake. The Aruch HaNer wants to say something really way out. Ein Achinami Batzra was in Moav, what's in Chutzlaritz. Why did he think, Samuel, that Batzra in Moav could be and is an Ir Miklat? And the answer is, my friends, that there aren't six Ari Miklat. In fact, there are nine Ari Miklat. Because Lasid Lavo, when we conquer the lands of Kini, Knizi, and Knani, we're going to have three additional Ari Miklat. Says the Aruch HaNer, Moav is actually located in the land of Kini, Knizi, and Kadmoni, and that he proves with the Gemara Baba Basra, which in the future will be addended to Eretz Yisrael. So if you happen to be on the right wing of the political spectrum in Eretz Yisrael, hold your breath, because we're going to have a lot more than just Yudav Shomron. Moav is probably, or parts of Moav is Jordan, but in any event, we're going all the way up to the north. We'll probably have Lebanon and Kini, Knizi, and Kadmoni. For my part, I would be happy if we just ended up right now with Yudav Shomron and a little bit of Aza if we could get back and somehow get safety to our nation. But in any event, this was the first mistake of Samuel. What was his second mistake? It's unbelievable to talk about errors of a Malach. Toeh she'eno koletes ela shogeg hu mezid haya. What? In other words, he was responsible for the death of Jews. Who's the Gol Adam in this case? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to allow him protection for a Hariga B'Mezid. Of course, if you ask me why Samuel made such a mistake, is because the Torah describes Hu Yonos Elachas. Every Rotzeach goes to the Ir Miklat, but there's only one difference. Then he's brought back to the Bezdin, if you recall, and they judge him, and if he turns out to be amazing, we give him over to death. He can't go back to the Ir Miklat at that point. And what was his third mistake? Toesh she'eino koletes el adam v'hu malachu. Only a human being can gain protection and klita in an Eir Miklat, even if Batzer was an Eir Miklat, in the future will be, but nevertheless, it's only for human protection and not for angelic protection. The Aruch HaNer says that Rashi, if you read carefully, doesn't have the third mistake. He completely omits it. And Rashi claims, according to the Aruch HaNer, that an Eir Miklat is koletes even malachim. You hear this, Rabosai? Even a malach can find protection. Why? And he bases himself on a Yushalmi in Masechta Yuma. The Yushalmi says that a malach is called Adam. That the word Adam includes even a malach. Obviously, malachim are somewhere in between. They're in those celestial spheres, right? Between the higher worlds and the lower worlds. But again, they overlap with the lower worlds to the extent that they are considered Adam. That's the Aruch HaNer's chiddush as to explain why Rashi omits the third era. The Marsha has an interesting chiddush here. The Marsha says that the reason why Rashi omits the third mistake is because the third mistake is a repetition of the second mistake. Meaning, a malach is not capable of shogeg. There's no such thing as a shogeg by a malach. And basically, once you have the second mistake, namely that he was a mazid and not a shogeg, and therefore there's no klita for a mazid, ipso facto you have the third category, the third mistake, because a malach by definition is always mazid, he's not capable of shogeg. Ain't shogeg the malach. So again, Rabbosai, the next time you apply to get accepted to a course called Angelic Essences Point 101, the introductory course to angels, this might be a good place to start your study. Well, we have Samuel. Yeah. He made at least two mistakes, according to everyone.
Who was sent to get Miriam, Magdala.
And he killed the wrong person.
He killed the wrong person.
Oh, that's a good point. There's a story in the Gemara about a malach who actually took the wrong person. And the Mefarshim try to explain how Hashem allowed that to happen. Yeah. Any event, Amar Rabbi Avo, Ari Miklat lo nitnu l'kvura. A person dies in an Eir Miklat, he doesn't get buried there. Dichsiv, because the pasuk says, Umigrasheim yiu lebemtam l'chusham l'chol chayosam. And the Gemara darshins, chayosam means l'chayim, l'tzarche chayim nitnu, but lo l'kvura. Well, that doesn't make any bit of sense. The Mishnah already described the case where we bury the Rotzeach in the Eir Miklat. We can only remove him from his interment after the death of the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Shama. The Mishnah darshins the word Shama. Shamte dirasa, shamte misasa, shamte kvuraso. So it means that from Shama we derive that a Rotzeach who dies in the Eir Miklat is buried in the Eir Miklat, at least until the death of the Kohen Gadol, and then we take him out of his burial place. The Gemara answers, Rotzeach Shaini. Rotzeach is different. Why? The Goli Beirachmana, because the Torah says Shama. But anyone other than Rotzeach is not to be buried in the ear of the Levium, because the Ari Levium, including the Ari Miklat, totally number 48, are given for life and not for burial. This is why, by the way, again, I'm not telling you this is my view, but there is a view out there that is opposed to bringing the dead for burial in Israel. I'm not subscribing to it, but
it's better to live here than die.
Right. In other words, this is not, Eretz Yisrael is not a burial ground, you know. So they say, because, you know, the Chazal say that when Lasid Lavo, there'll be Gilgal this, and the Atzamos, and I understand all that, but you should know that there is such an opinion that's opposed to bringing people to burial here. That's like to be metame the land of Eretz Yisrael. And I see that here because what we're going to see throughout the next Gemara is that the Arei Levim have a special status within the context of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. We're going to soon see that there has to be a beautification of the cities of the Levim. There's got to be a strip around an entire circle, you know, a radius, a circumference around the city that has to be left unplowed and unsettled for beauty purposes. It's all part of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And we're not going to bury anyone there. Who will we bury there? The Rotzeach. Why do we bury the Rotzeach there? So the Mepharshim say that that's not really a burial. It's only temporary. It's not permanent because once the Kohen Gadol dies, in other words, the cemetery in the Ir Miklat was a very sparsely populated cemetery. It only had the remains of Rotzchim whose Kohen Gadol did not yet die. You know, during that period of time, hopefully there weren't too many there. Just 1 second, I lost my place. Where are we? Yeah. So again, even though the Arei Miklat are there to protect people, and it's going to be a place where you live, but we're not allowed to bury the dead there. The Ritva adds the following. He says, HaMakshan lo olal daito letaritz came. Why didn't the Makshan, who raised this question, how can you bury the Rotzchim in the Ir Miklat? Why didn't he think that maybe Rotzeach is different? Savar, why was he so upset? De me'achav haRotzeach who ger bi'ir haMiklat nikbar bo. That if the Rotzeach, who's not really a local citizen of that city, he only came there on a temporary basis because he killed someone, and yet he could be buried there. Kolshkein sheish likbar bas halavim shehem dayarim kvuim beir. That's this city was given to the Levim, and the Levim are living there. If a Levi lives there, let him die there, and let him be buried there. That was the maksha. And the Gemara's answer was no, that in truth we don't bury the Rotzchim, it's a temporary kind of kvur. Okay, the Mishnah says, we move on ahead, Kishem Shahir Koletes Kach Tchuma Kolet, which means that there's a 2,000 Amma ring around the Ir Miklat, and anywhere in that area is Klita. Verminu, the Gemara asks a question from a Braisa. The Braisa says, on the Pasuk, V'yoshav Ba, and he, the Rotzech, will dwell there. Ba, V'lo B'tchuma. Within the city limits itself, but not outside the city limits. Not in the Tchum, the 2,000 Amma, which are contiguous to the city. So we have a stira between the Mishnah and a Braisa. You could say it's a machlokas, but the Gemara wants to try to reconcile the two. Omar Abaye, lo kasha, kan liklot, kan lodur. According to Abaye, the pasuk v'yoshav ba quoted by the Braisa is to exclude dira in the tchum of Alpayim Amma. This is an area that has to be left unsettled. As we said before, that beautifies the city. You're not allowed to live there on a permanent basis. But nevertheless, it is still annexed. It's an extension of the Ir Miklat itself as far as Klita is concerned. So that's what he says, Kan Liklot. In order to protect himself from the Gol Adam, the Tchum is meaningful and will protect him. But if you ask me whether he's allowed to live there or not, the answer is no. He has to live in the city itself.
He can't live in a tent.
Say it again?
He can't live in a tent outside.
Right. That he's not allowed to do.
Why?
Because of this mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, as we'll soon see, meaning that the Arei Levim had a special status in the context of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and the Torah wanted to guarantee that no one settles outside the city. There's got to be a beautiful uninhabited area outside the city. But we didn't get to that yet.
I don't think we got to talk about the ultimate idea that it's a relocation should be involved with being learning Torah. You're sitting there as a hermit outside the town, it's protected, but it should be living with people.
Right. Maybe he should be more of a social animal, you mean. Right. Okay. Now the Gemara says, I don't understand. You need the Pasuk, the Yashav Ba, to teach you that the Rotzeach is not allowed to settle outside the city in the Tchum Ha'ir? Tepukle, I could derive the same conclusion if you're talking about Dira. Now, in other words, if you're talking about Klita, then you need this Pasuk to teach me that there's no Klita outside of the city in the Tchum Ha'ir. But you're telling me, no, there is Klita outside the city. And therefore, the Yashav Ba is teaching me that there's no Dira outside the city. That has nothing to do with the Rotzeach. No one's allowed to live outside of the city of the Ari Levim. The Ari Levim are completely sealed, and outside the city there's going to be an area which is going to be called a Migrash. Migrash means unpopulated, unplanted. You can't use it as a field to grow anything. Typically, we should know it. The Ein Osim, this is a mission I think in Erchin, Ein Osim Sadeh Migrash. In other words, Migrash, again, the word Migrash means a land that's absolutely fallow, meaning there's nobody there. It's totally flattened. There's no planting there. There's no living there, no dwelling, nothing. So if you have a Sadeh, let's say, for example, outside the city, we'll see exactly where the Levium have fields. So those fields cannot be converted into a Migrash, because then you're undermining the power, the potential of the ground to produce fruit, right? Which is also part of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, that we produce vegetables and fruits and so forth and grains. Velo migrash sadeh, and not only that, the migrash has to be left totally empty and cannot be used for planting. And thirdly, lo migrash ir. Not only can you not use it for planting, you can't even put people down there. You're not allowed to build houses there. It has to be what we call a migrash rake, completely empty. And the reason for this, as we said before, is to enhance the beauty of the city. You know, people who are into landscaping and things like that, on a more municipal level, will be well advised to learn this Gemara, because what the Gemara is establishing, that you beautify the city by allowing an area outside the city called Alpayim Amah. Now this Alpayim Amah is divided up into two halves. First of all, Elef Amah, 1,000 Amah, are used for Sados and Kronim. Right, that's what we spoke about before, the Sadeh Shalavim, that's within the 1,000 Amah outside the bounds of the city. And then there's another 1,000 Amah, which is even further from the city limits, and that has to be left Rekam, has to be left completely fallow. And the Mefarshim say, I'm quoting the Meiri, Litzorech Noi Ha'ir, to beautify the city. And this proves what, you know, for me personally, this is great. I'll tell you why, because I had this theory over, you know, many times I've said this and I never had a really great proof for it, that in Eretz Yisrael and in the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, there's a separate halach of ear. And I said a shir a few days ago in which I discussed the mitzvah of Shoftim v'Shotrim Titen L'Chay to appoint Sanhedrin. The Ramban's opinion is that in Chutz Laaretz there's no mitzvah to appoint the Sanhedrin. The Rambam's opinion is that in Chutz Laaretz you appoint Sanhedrin, you appoint judges and courts in provinces, that's called a Pelach, which is a larger span, so it's a cluster of cities, but not in each city. In Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam says, every single city has to be equipped with a court. Because the Torah says, Shoftim v'shoftim titin l'cha, b'chol sharecha, b'aretz asher nosen lach. Sharecha means the city. So it was my contention that there's halacha in Yishuv Eretz Yisrael of ear. The ear engenders its own dinim of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, one of which is to establish the Sanhedrin. And now I can add to that the mitzvah at least in the case of Ari Alevim, again, it's not universal in all cities, but in the 48 Ari Alevim, that there should be Noi Ha'ir, there should be a certain beauty to the city. You know, I once heard that Rav Kook, the first chief rabbi of Palestine, was very complimentary to, how do I say this in a nice way, rubbish collectors? Is there such a phrase in England?
Yeah.
And why? Because they clean up the streets of Eretz Yisrael. You know, and I thought it was a cute story. It was a nice anecdote, you know. And in fact, when I go out in the morning, again, I don't know if they're all Jews, but they seem to be Jews. I don't know, at least in this area.
Many of them.
No?
Many are.
Many of them are. I don't know if they're all. Most of them are. And it's, you know, I thought, is that a good, you know, the Jewish mother, you know, my son the doctor, my son the lawyer, my son the garbage collector. But
some of them wear kippot.
And a lot of them wear kippot. A lot of them wear kippot. I don't know exactly when they daven, because when I get up very early, I see them out there collecting garbage. So maybe b'shas hadchak they daven with halos hashachar. I don't know. But whatever it is, my heart goes for them because I see them doing such menial labor. But on the flip side of it, they more than I have even carried the mitzvah of cleaning up the city in Eretz Yisrael. That's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Okay, fine. A little tzionis there, just to wake you up. Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says the following. So why do I need this halacha of the Yashav Ba? That they're not allowed, the Rotzeach is not allowed to live outside the city. It's not Aloch and Rotzeach. No one's allowed to live outside the city because it's an Ir Levim. What a fantastical answer. Those Rishoyim down in Gaza were not the first ones to think of underground tunnels. Amar Rav Sheshes lo nitzcha ela limechilos. In other words, the Aloch of Noi Ha'ir that requires that this circumference around the city, a radius of 2,000 Amma, has to be left fallow, that is not undermined by subterranean tunnels. So you might think, therefore, that the Rotzeach, if he decides to live underground, right, the underground, what's it called in England? The tube? What do they call it? In America, they call it the subway. So that he's allowed to do. Kamash Malan, that's why I need the Pasuk V'yashav Ba, that he's not allowed to set up his domicile, even in the Mechilos, and that's a separate Allah, a separate Gzeiros HaKasuv, which would not come under the general Allah of Ein Osin Sada Migrash, or Ein Osin Migrash Ir, I should say. But it comes under the halacha of Isur Yeshiva in the Tchum of the city. Now, I want to raise two points here. I don't know if any of them are correct. But it just, my mind wanders here. My first point is that this is not... This halacha of the Yashav Ba, as opposed to the halacha that we learned before of Ein Osin Migrash Ir in the case of Ari Levim, is not an Avera. We're not talking about a Maisa Avera, meaning if the Rotzeach would live underground in the Tchum of the city of the Levim, that would not be a Maisa Avera. What it would be is a Bittel Esek. In other words, what the Torah is telling us is that his mitzvah, part of the suffering that he has to, the kapara that he has to, is to live in the city of refuge, with all the humiliation and so forth involved. If he lives outside the city, he's not fulfilling his mitzvah of living in the city. And that's why this halach is derived from the pasuk V'yashav Ba. It's sort of like a lav haba v'chal essay. It's not an avera per se, but it's a non-fulfillment of an essay. The second point that bothers my mind is, what happens if the Rotzeach decides that he's going to live outside the city in the Tchum Ha'ir? Live there. So again, if he's passing through there, the Gol Adam can't get a hold of him. He's got Klita. That's the Tchum Ha'ir. But what happens if he decides to live there and he sets up his permanent home?
Two separate things.
I would suggest that...
Not living there and still being protected.
No, that's what I don't know. I'm thinking out loud. I don't have a proof for it yet. But Levi Omerly, intuitively, I sense that if he goes too far and he violates the Yashav Ba, he now has forfeited the Kapara experience of Ir Miklat, and if so, he forfeits the Klita as well. So again, as long as he's traveling through the Tchum Ha'ir, you know, he's a fugitive running away from the Gol Adam, we say to the Gol Adam, stop. You know, don't even dream of killing the Rotzeh. If you do, you'll be put to death. But the moment he decides to build a house there and live there, he is violating the Yashav Ba. He forfeits the Kapara power of the Ir Miklat, because the Torah defines the limits the Kapara of the Ir Miklat to the year itself, and not to the, it doesn't extend it to the Tchum. Once he forfeits the Kapara power of the Ir Miklat, he also forfeits the Klita power of the Ir Miklat. I don't know, I'm just throwing out a possibility. Okay. Rotseach sheyotza chutz l'tchum, and here we're going to move like the speed of light, because we've discussed this in the past at great length. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa. The Torah says, I'll read the whole pasuk here from the Oslam of a Hadar Gemara. It says, umatza oso gol adam michutz l'gvulir miklato. If the rotseach finds the rotseach outside of the gvul of the ir miklato, v'ratzach gol adam es rotseach ein lo dam. Says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, what do we derive from this mitzvah b'yad Gol Adam? The Gol Adam now has a mitzvah. We're going to see he derives it from the word v'ratzach. It doesn't say imratzach. It says v'ratzach. Ein Gol Adam. What about a case where somebody murders someone? Let's say a ger he murders or whatever it is, and there is no Gol Adam. Is then, says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, rishus b'yad Kol Adam, which means anyone else could kill him. And ein lo dam, divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. By the way, why does it say im ein lo gol adam? It means that if there is a gol adam, you don't really have license to kill him, because you'd be usurping the mitzvah of whom? Of the gol adam. Because according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, once the rotzeach leaves the Miklat, there's a mitzvah that's given specifically and exclusively to the gol adam to kill him. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rishus b'yad Gol Adam. When the Torah says V'ratzach, it doesn't say Yirtzach. Yirtzach is an imperative. It says Ratzach, which means he has license to do so, but he certainly doesn't get brownie points for that. V'chol Adam, and here we have a major machlokus Rishonim. Our Girsa is Chayovim Olav, which makes a lot of sense, because the Torah only gave license to Gol Adam. It's none of your business if you're not the Gol Adam. But the Ritva's Girsa here is Ein Chayov and Olav. And the Gaon defends the Ritva, and he says that there's a fundamental difference between Rishus B'yad Gol Adam and Achirim Ein Chayov and Olav. Rishus means that it's okay. We can really, you know, recommend that the Gol Adam put him to death. He's not going to get points for it, but he can do so. In the case of Shar Inchi, there we're not going to encourage it at all, but there's a separate halach of Ein Lo Dam, that since the Torah allowed the Gol Adam to kill him, the Rotzeach loses his status of Dam, and therefore we cannot put the Acherim to death. My time with the Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Mik Siv Im Ratzach, if he decides to kill, which would imply a Rishus, V'Ratzach, it says V'Ratzach, and that means Mitzvah. Rabbi Akiva says, Mik Siv Yirtzach, Yirtzach is a mandate, is Lashon Sivu. That would be implying a Mitzvah. But here it says V'Ratzach, which means that it's only Rishus. We have a third opinion. If the Gol Adam kills the Rotzeach outside the city of refuge, he, the Gol Adam, will be put to death. Not only isn't it a mitzvah, like Rabbi Yossi Aglili maintains, it's not even a reshus, like Rabbi Akiva maintains, and now the Gol Adam will be put to death. Kiman. Which of the opinions does Rav accept? Lo Kirav Yosef Glili, lo Kirav Yakiva. That's a pella that Rav should disagree with the. In other words, it's universally accepted, unanimous decision of the Tanoim, that the Gol Adam is not responsible if he puts the Rotzeach to death, how can you argue with all the Tanoim? Who? The Omar Ki Haitan. Rav holds like a third Tana, which a Tana's opinion is not quoted in the Mishnah, it's quoted in a Braisa. The Sanya we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, and here I'll read the full Pasuk, V'lo Yomis HaRotzeach, the Rotzeach will not die, Ad Ondo Lifnei HaEda LeMishpat, until he's brought to trial in the court. And Rabbi Eliezer is going to interpret that this pasuk is referring to a rotzeach who's already stood for judgment on the first round. Now he's got to be brought back to judgment on a second round. Ma Talmud Lomar, what is this pasuk teaching me? We know that after Ritzicha, the rotzeach runs to the mikot, then he's taken back from Mishpat to the Beis HaMishpat. What is this pasuk adding that I don't know? Is ein lo dam yochel, I might think miyad, you know, it's the very moment that the rotzeach steps out of the miklat, ein lo dam, the goel adam is allowed to put him to death. Talmud lomer, no, there's going to be a process over here. Ad ondo lifnei ha'edo lemishpat, Beis Din is going to have to determine with a court case and hand down a verdict that the goel adam is allowed to kill the rotzeach. What exactly is going to be the nature of this judgment? I mean, we know that the rotzeach left the confines of the Yermiklot. So now you're schlepping him into Beis Din, and then Beis Din is going to determine that he left the Yermiklot? Is that it? So I think that this Gemara will only make sense in about 2 minutes. Rav Yossi, according to Rav Yossi, who says there's a mitzvah of the Goel Adam. Rabbi Akiva, who says that there's a reshus for the Goel Adam. Hi, what do they do with the pasul Yomis Rotzeach Ad Ondo Lifnei Ha'edol in Mishpat? My Darshi Bey. Hahumi Boilei L'Chassanya. They need it for a different halacha. And this halacha has nothing to do with the Ir Miklat. And has nothing to do with the Rotzeach and the Goel Adam. But rather it's a universal halacha in Ilchus Ritzich. Rabbi Kiva Omer Minayin L'Sanhedrin She'ro'u Echad She'horigas HaNefesh. A man commits murder in the presence of Sanhedrin.
That's a problem. There's an aid and a judge.
The Mefarshim say that it's very, very difficult for these judges to be absolutely honest about it because they witnessed the crime. In other words, they're going to have to bring in two other Edim, but they themselves, based on their Re'iyah alone, cannot put him to death. Ad Shiyamod, Bebez Din Acher, will ship him out to a different court and let Edim come and testify. And maybe these judges can testify in a different court. How do we know this? Talmud Lomar, V'lo Yomis HaRotzeach, Ad Omdo Lifnei HaEdo LeMishpat, Ad Shiyamod Bebez Din Acher. In other words, Beis Din cannot put a person to death, condemn him based on their own re'iyah, their own personal testimony.
The judge can't be an aid. We know that.
Well, I don't know exactly. I think we paskin that aid nasa dying, don't we? I had 2 days in the Gemara. I don't remember the conclusion. In any event, I just want to quote to you Tosus in Masech to Rosh Hashanah on Daf Chavav. He says, "Ain Beis Din done in din in nefashos al pi re'iyasam." Only in the case of a murder case is Beis Din enjoined from putting him to death based on their re'iyah. And why? To be kevan shero atayonim atzman shahara ganidon es hanefesh shuv lo yuchlu lelamed olav zechus velo tiskayim mitzvah satora v'itzilu ha'eda es harotzeach, meaning that the judges are commanded to look and search for some sort of justification to take this guy and vindicate him, and therefore they won't be able to do that properly. They cannot judge. Oh, he says, "V'nosna Gemara Rosh Hashanah Tamli didn't say, why did the Gemara give this reasoning that they won't find this chus v'itzilu eda? Kidei shelo yavo lilmod mimenu gam legabi dinei mamis. That we shouldn't extend it to dinei mamis. So in a monetary case, let's say, for example, a man destroys someone's object of value right in front of the bezdin, they could force him to pay immediately.
Why are there
concerns
talking about the
right, right.
You know, five guys, three of them see it.
So they separate, they subdivide. So again, my question is, according to Rabbi Eliezer, what exactly is Beis Din going to judge here if the Rotzeach left the Ir Miklat? What's the big deal? Tana Rabbana, and I think the answer lies in this Brisa. I'm going to read the entire pasuk for you. As Gvul Ir Miklat Asher Yana Shama, the Rotzeach exits from the bounds of the Ir Miklat. Umatzo so gol adam ichutz li Gvul Ir Miklato. The Rotzeach gol adam es Rotzeach ein lo damim. Ein li ella b'mezid. I would know that the gol adam could put the Rotzeach to death because only in the case where the Rotzeach deliberately left, he checked out of the Ir Miklat. Bishogeg, what if he made a mistake or he didn't realize that he's not allowed to leave? Nobody taught him that halacha. Minayin, how do you know that even in that case the Rotzeach can be put to death? Talmud Lomar, im yotso yetze, there's a double language, mikol makom. So this is what's called kefal aloshon, that tells me anytime he leaves, he checks out of the Ir Miklat, he could be put to death. Even if he left unintentionally, accidentally, or out of ignorance. So the Gemara says, how could that be so? Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Here there's a Girsa problem. But let's read it. Ve'ha-horeg, or ha-horgo, meaning the Rotzeach, b'mezid, if he left the Ir Miklat, b'mezid, nerag, he'll be killed by the Gol Adam. B'shogeg, however, if he left inadvertently, then the Gol Adam does not have the ability to kill him. But rather we send them back to the Ir Miklat. So we have a contradiction here between two brisos. Lokash. The Gemara says it's not a contradiction. Ha, the brisa that says that the Gol Adam is not allowed to kill him if he leaves Bishogeg, Kimandi Omar, maintains the following principle. This is a principle in Kol HaTorah Kula. The Amrinam, we say Dibra Torah Kiloshon B'nei Adam. That the Torah uses language that's idiomatic, that's typical of the vernacular. So im yotso yetze, even though it sounds like a double language, which might include a shoge case, no. Yotso yetze, you shouldn't get nispoil from yotso yetze, that's Torah b'loshem b'neyod. Have the other braisa that says no, yotso yetze is coming to include a rotzeach b'shoge, that we have the right to analyze every single word in the Torah, and unless the word tells me something and teaches me a new halacha, then we don't know why it's there. We can't justify it because the Dibra Torah kiloshon bnei Adam. Okay, what do you say? Where is that?
Where is it?
Yeah, do you remember where it is? Okay. And what does Abaye hold? Omar Abaye, Mistavro Kimandi Omar Divri Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam, and therefore the Yotso Yetze is not to be used as a drasha for Shogeg. Why? So I thought the Gemara was going to answer that Divri Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam is some sort of universal principle that applies in all drashas and all the Torah. The Gemara says no. Abaye is not saying that Divri Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam. He's saying here is a case where we have to apply the principle of Dibra Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam. Why? Because of a Kal V'Chomer. What Kal V'Chomer? Shelo Yesofo Chomer Mitchiloso. The Rotzeach is going to be put to death if he doesn't get himself into the Ir Miklat because he killed someone. But that only applies when he killed someone B'mezid. Then we'll put him to death. Now you want to put him to death for leaving the Ir Miklat? And not only that, he left the Ir Miklat b'shogeg, matchilah. So when we put a person to death, b'mezit, because he was guilty of murder, deliberate murder, is nerag. Now we understand why we kill him.
But if he killed Bishogeg Gola, we're not going to put him to death. We'll send him to the Yermiklot. Is so af sofo, how much more so in the case here where all he did was he left the Yermiklot. It's not the worst tragedy or criminal act in the world. Is Bishlam, if he left Bemezid, then it makes sense. Nerag, because he no longer has protection. But Bishogeg, the worst thing he could do for a shogeg is gola. We never found for a shogeg that he could be punished with a more severe punishment than golus. So I have a footnote here in which he quotes the Melo HaRoim, who says, Ein kavonis abai b'omer mistabra el gabe etzem adin shebishogeg en nerag b'emes v'ikur adovar. He says, Abai is not committed one way or the other, whether dibritor klosh b'nei yodim or lo dibritor. But here, if you're going to derive halacha, a conclusion based on lo dibritor klosh b'nei yodim, and the conclusion is antithetical to the very logic of when and under what circumstances it's justified to put someone to death, is here this is far to say that in this particular context, Dibra Torah Kiloshim B'Deyon. So this has to be taken under advisement, because now it means that Dibra Torah or Lo Dibra Torah is not an absolute rule. You know, there are always going to be, always is the possibility of exceptions to the rule. Now the Gemara quotes another stira between two brisos. And now we're talking about a father who inadvertently killed his son. Tani Chado, according to one brisa of Shaharag, if a father kills his own son, Bishogeg. And by the way, you know, I always say to myself, and I don't know if this is something that'll shock you, that this is not far from reality. I mean, how could a father kill his own son? But what I find is that there's more chances within a family of one member of the family damaging another. I'll give you an example. We live in a world of automobiles. When you leave the house and you pull out a car, that's a lethal weapon. And, you know, if somebody, Chas Shalom, gets killed, there's a good chance it's going to be a family member who's running, you know, running for that car.
It happens too often. Little kids, they're not seen.
You know this is a fact? All the time.
I mean, unfortunately, it does. Many times it's not in the Jewish community, it's in the Arab communities where they're more
right.
Dealing with equipment in rural and on hills and whatnot, it's well developed.
Right. And what about stories of babies that are left in cars? And we had one just recently.
Statistics are that 80% of the accidents in cars happen within 1 mile of where you live.
Oh, okay. So if it's 1 mile of where you live, it's Gan Shach, that'll be a family member. So as shocking as this Gemara sounds, you know, I my heart goes out. I'm more for the father than the son in this case. But anyway, whatever it is. So anyway, Av Shaharag, the father killed Beno Nasal Beno. This is the brother of the deceased, right? And the other son, Nasalo Goel Adam. He's allowed to kill his own father. It means if his father doesn't get himself over to the Yermikla. Tanya Edoch, the other brisa says, Ain Beno Nasalo Goel Adam. The son cannot kill his own father under the law of Goel Adam. Lema, should we suspect that this machlokes is the ancient machlokes between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva? Ha! The brisa that says that the son could kill his father, that's Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because since it's a mitzvah incumbent upon the Goel Adam to do justice, that mitzvah overrides any other considerations. Veha, and the other brisa that says, no, in this case we're not going to allow this to happen. That's Rabbi Akiva, who says that the Goel Adam in general has no mitzvah. He only has a license. We're going to allow him to do that, to kill the Rotzeach Bishogeg in order to take revenge, but not in the case of killing his own father. The Gemara doesn't like this.
Even in Rabbi Yossi, it's a mitzvah. You still have not allowed to strike your father.
Right.
Assuming that's part of the process of killing him. And keep it up to aim or
your children. Right, but once this mitzvah is a mitzvah specifically on killing, I mean, there are very few times that the Torah commands us to kill someone. For example, Bezdin has to kill someone, or let's say in a mitzvah milchama or a molek or whatever. There are a few cases where we have to put someone to death. When you have to put someone to death, it doesn't matter who that person is.
is, even if it's your own father. But Rabbi Akiva holds that the Gol Adam does not have to put someone to death. He has the option of doing so.
It's not a
fee. The Tisbara, the Gemara says, is this logical? I don't think it's logical. Bein leman diomer mitzvah, bein leman diomer rishus. Even if I hold it's a mitzvah like the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, me shari, I have a reason to prove to you that despite the fact that the Gol Adam would be involved in a mitzvah, that mitzvah does not apply in the case of a ben. And how do I know this? From a statement of Rabbah Bar Avuna. Let's say a man is condemned to die, and Beis Din has to put him to death at the hands of the executioner. Well, who is this executioner? Could it be anyone? Could it be the man, the victim, you know, the condemned man's own son? Rabbah Bar Avuna has a brisa. And that brisa is Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, that with regard to all averus in the Torah that the father violates, the rule is ein haben nasa shliach li aviv lakoso lekalelo. A son will not become the appointed agent of the Beis Din to mete out the punishment for this condemned criminal, because that criminal is his own father, neither to put him into nidui nor to give him 40 lashes. Chutz, there's a separate category, and this is an avera which goes beyond all the other averas in the Torah with very unique regulations, and that's the case of mimesis. If the father was guilty of bringing about the violation of idol worship, he enticed other people to worship idols. In that case, the Torah says, "Shrei Omer Torah Lo Sachmo." So it means, as a general rule, even when the Torah commands someone to mete out corporeal punishment against someone, with the exception of maces, this will not apply to a son serving to fulfill the mitzvah. We know that a shliach bezdin is a mitzvah. This we learned already on Daf Ches, if you remember, that if a shliach bezdin kills someone inadvertently, he doesn't go into golus because it's not dumya diyar. You remember that whole sugya. So in any event, we're back now to square one, and we have a serious contradiction between two brisos. Because now we're saying that according to the Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, a son will never hit his father, even in a situation where he has a mitzvah to do so. So what do we do with this brisa that says that Nasalo, Beno Nasalo Gol Adam? There's no contradiction between the two brises in terms of whether a son will kill his father to avenge his brother's blood. Ha, the brise that says he's not allowed to do so is the word ben here, means the ben of the rotzeach, the son of the rotzeach, who is the brother of the nirtzach. He would be killing his own father. That he's not allowed to do. Vaha, but the brisa that allows a ben to serve as a gol adam, that's not the case of the son of the rotzeach, who is the brother of the nirtzach. Ela b'ben b'no. It's a grandson. In other words, sometimes the brisa uses ben b'no and b'no interchangeably, which is a little bit confusing why the brisa did that, but be it as it may, the word b'no in this context refers to whom? To ben b'no. And it means that a ben b'no does not have a mitzvah to be Mechabit's grandfather. And here's where all the Mefarshim go to town. We know that a grandson has to respect his grandfather. So there are two...
killed his own father, severe.
Again, what's the case? Let's just...
The grandson grandfather killed this kid's father.
Or his brother.
I mean his uncle.
Well, let's say he killed his brother, in other words.
No, that can't be.
Why?
Oh, you mean the grandson's brother?
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay.
That's also, yeah. Yeah, that's also crazy.
All right. So let me tell you here that there are different approaches here to explain this ben beno. Rashi says, "Habe ben beno." It's the last Rashi before the Mishnah. Hadasanya ain't beno nasagol adam bibno shorotzeh komav. Hadasanya beno nasal of ben bibno shel harug shu ben beno shel rotzeh. So you're right. Rashi actually gives that case. The eno muzhar al kvodo pile plon. Rashi says it outright. Again, we could reinterpret Rashi a hint and a hair, but at simple reading, Rashi is saying that a grandson does not have to have respect for his grandfather.
Maybe once his father's dead. Maybe while his father's still
alive. Oh, okay. Good, good, good. So let's go slow. So first of all, we have the Ma'arik. The Ma'arik says, Ein Adam Chayav Bechvod Avi Aviv. And the Ma'arik is quoted in Yoredeya Simon Reish Mem, which is the Simon of Kibbutz Av, by the Ramah. And the Ramah himself, after quoting the Ma'arik, says, Ein Hadavar Nireh. I'm not happy with this Ma'arik. Elachayav Adam Bechvod Avi Aviv. Mikol Makom, says the Ramah, Chayav Hu Bechvod Aviv Yoser Bechvod Avi Aviv. In other words, on the scale, if we would weigh Kibbutz Av vis-a-vis Kibbutz Avi Aviv, Kibbutz Av is a much more serious...
By killing his grandfather, he's honoring his father to a certain extent.
No, the justice of his father is part of the Kibbutz Av.
Okay, you guys are way ahead of me. I'm just on a simple level. What we're saying here is, in Rashi, that Rashi doesn't mean, you shouldn't take Rashi at face value, eino muzar al kvodo. Rashi means, the way the Ramah would interpret Rashi, is relative to the cover that he has to have for his father, is eino muzar. It doesn't shine a candle. And in the light of that low flame candle, the halacha of mitzvah al go adam, in which he's avenging the death of his close relative, overrides that level of covet for avi aviv. Okay, so far so good. The Taz on that Ramah also goes ballistic against this Ma'arik, and he says Rashi ala Torah. In Brachos Perek Mem Vav Pasuk Aleph Vayizbach Zvachim Lelokei Aviv Yitzchak. Why does it say Elokei Aviv Yitzchak? Why doesn't it say Avram? Rashi says Mishum Shechayev Adam Mikvod Aviv Yoser Mikvod Zkeno. But obviously there is a Chiyuv Kavod to one's grandfather, and Rashi admits it. So if we're going to reconcile this Rashi with that Rashi, we're going to have to accept the Ramah that this is a theory of relativity. He says, in the name of the Maratz Chayis, what do we do with Rashi here? Rashi seems to say that Ein Olam Chayif Klal Bechvod Zkeino. He's not willing to take the Ramah and push it into our Rashi and say, well, it's a secondary, a lighter kind of kavod. So how do we reconcile the two Rashis? See, quotes here a drush of the Ranach in Parshas Toldos. He says, it's not a direct chiyuv kavod to his grandfather, but it's an indirect chiyuv kavod, right, through his father. El kavanas hagmarahi shaladas hasover shemitzvah biyad gol adam largas rotzeach. He can kill his grandfather. Lefisha eino chayov kolkach bechvodo, ach eino rashoi larogis aviv. Okay, for some reason he doesn't say the straight answer. The straight answer would be that his chiyuv to his grandfather is through his father, but here his father killed his father. His grandfather killed his father. All right. What time is it, Rabbi Osai? It's already 9:22. So, I don't remember if we got to the next Mishnah. I don't think we did. Correct me if I'm wrong. If in the past. What we did tonight, I think we've done in the past. No? Or parts of it, at least. Didn't we discuss Rabbi Yossi Hagli and Rabbi Akiva in the past? Anyway.
Yes.
I think so. Yes. But this Mishnah, I don't think we got to.
Right.
So let me give us a 2-minute introduction to this Mishnah. If you have any time in the next week, try to prepare this Mishnah. It is very difficult. I've been spending hours on it. There's so many variables here. The case is that you have a tree that has foliage, and the foliage and the roots of the tree are located in two different domains. So, for example, let's say you have what's called Chomas Yerushalayim. Within the Chom of Yerushalayim, you're allowed to eat Maaser Sheni, but you can't be Poda Maaser Sheni. Outside the Chom of Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni, but you could be Poda Maaser Sheni. Now, what happens if you have a tree that's located, and again, there are different cases, but one case would be it's the roots of the tree are grounded inside Yerushalayim, but the foliage, which is called the Nof, that's where I'm going now, to the Nof. The Nof extends outside the Chomas Yerushalayim, or vice versa. So what's the status of the tree, where it's its location, and that's got a double nafkamina in Maaser Sheni. The same is true for the Ir Miklat. What happens if you have a tree which is on the border, the outer boundary of the Ir Miklat? The roots of the tree, the bark of the tree is situated... Well, what word am I looking for? Not bark of the tree. Trunk of the tree. The trunk of the tree is located within the bounds of the Ir Miklat, but the foliage of the tree extends outside the Ir Miklat.
The guy sitting on the branch?
Yeah, so let's say he climbs up the tree and he's on the branches that are outside the Ir Miklat, but the trunk of the tree is in the Ir Miklat. You know, Tzah as well. This is the sugya which is called Azlinan Shadina Nofo Basar Ikro that appears all over Shas. And for some reason, the Gemara is only interested in one equation, one analogy. And that is between Ir Miklat and Maaser Sheni. All the other sugyas are somehow completely omitted in this discussion. Okay, Rabbosai, we'll stop here.